is God doing right now?
If God is everywhere, why can't I see him anywhere?
Where is God?
Where is God?
Why is there so much suffering?
Why does God let this happen?
Why won't God answer my prayers?
Who's going to heaven?
How come?
Why?
What's the point?
What for?
Now it's time for some straight answers to awkward questions with Pastor George Samiatch.
What about fantasy role-playing games, Dungeons and Dragons and the like? What does the church say about these activities? Hello, I'm George Samiatz, pastor at Ascension Lutheran Church in Brandon, Suffolk. I'm also the vacancy pastor for Good Shepherd, Coventry, in the Midlands, and St. Columba, East Kilbride, in Scotland. Yes, the ELCE gave the Australians some travelling to do. If you're in those areas and you want some information about the Lutheran Church, by all means, get in contact with me. This week, I pick up on something from my answer last week about fantasy, Harry Potter, Lord of the Rings and the like. I mentioned that some in the Christian church find fantasy and its associations with magic, fantastical creatures, gods and demons problematic. And then I said, so in some quarters, there have been calls for censorship of these books and a rejection of associated items such as films and merchandise and explicit warnings about activities such as fantasy role-playing games as a no-go area for Christians. So, are fantasy role-playing games a no-go area for Christians? Or to put the question differently, can Christians play fantasy role-playing games? The short answer is yes. The longer answer is with care. These are the answers for so much of our living. I could have said the same answers if you asked me about driving a car, eating peanuts, doing a job, doing a dangerous job, getting married, and so on. Christians live with a remarkable freedom. I know the caricature of being a Christian is rules and regulations, conforming to the Ten Commandments, which is often summarized as one word, don't, being confined and enclosed, and above all, no fun. What the world doesn't realize, and unfortunately neither do some Christians, is that Jesus summarized the Ten Commandments as do. Actually, he said love. And Christians have the freedom to do just that. Live to the glory of God as per our situation and circumstance, and the only parameter or fence is that of loving my neighbour, not hurting them, helping them, as per our relationship, at home, at school, at work, in society, at play, and so on. A Bible passage I cherish is Jesus talking about why he has come among us. In John chapter 10, that's worth a read, but particularly the second part of verse 10, just before the Good Shepherd quote, when Jesus says, I have come that you may have life and have it to the full, or abundantly, or more abundantly, or in all its fullness, depending on your Bible translation. The Greek here has the idea of beyond, or exceeding the regular or normal number, prodigious, more than sufficient, exceeding. So we might say that we have life that is alive. Not just in this world, but of course forever, in the world to come. It stands to reason that if you know your destination or the end point of your story is certain and secure, then you don't have to worry about it, and you are free to live this moment, today, now, to the full. Of course, our sinful, selfish selves want to do this, live life to the full. But because of our sin, we do so at the expense of others, to the glory of ourselves, whereas Christians follow Jesus and live not at the expense of others, but in service to others, as is appropriate for the relationship at the time. I'm not talking about Christians being doormats or obsequious or weak as a normal course of action, but that we live each day following Jesus while seeking to serve others, and this lifestyle has a deep joy and richness that the world simply doesn't get. And yes, this means that of course Christians can relax, play games, enjoy company, socialize and so on. We can do this to the full, remembering the parameters of following Jesus while serving others, and so this can include fantasy role-playing games. They are as described, games, played with our imagination in a fantasy world as an imaginary character to achieve an outcome, winning, which is all about your character surviving and gaining experience and points so the game can continue with other adventures. For those unfamiliar with such games, they are played in groups, either together in one place, or more, I think, online, where one person is effectively the controller of the fantasy world. This person, sometimes called the DM or Dungeon Master, has set up an adventure. Go and rescue a prisoner from a castle guarded by a dragon. Stop smugglers raiding villages. Think any and all Lord of the Rings type adventures. Remember though, this is an imaginary world, so anything is possible in any world. There are hosts of worlds possible. Science fiction, fantasy, crime, etc., etc. My point is that you play a character in your mind with pen and paper or online and join with other players to achieve your objectives. Now, this imaginary world is very organized. A game is only a good game if people have chances of winning. And in one's imagination, one could imagine just changing the rules to win. But that is precisely not possible because this imaginary world will have so many rules to cover all aspects of life so that when a character says to the group he or she wants to do something, everyone knows whether that action is possible, and then based on the roll of the dice, how successful the action was. This is where the game's master, or the dungeon master, comes in. He or she plays the world, plays all the characters that the group must meet on their adventures, all the bad guys, the random meetings, the shopkeepers, and he also or she also rolls the dice to see how successful the world's characters are in their actions, or how cheap and expensive an item is, and so on. So it is a group game played largely in one's imagination whereby everyone is in the same world and everyone is rolling dice to see how successful all the interactions are, and it's even down to the choreographed one-blow-at-a-time sword fights, or how successful or not is a magic spell or a poison dart, and so on and so on and so on. Now, if you don't know much about these games, and you're now sensing that they are complicated and time-consuming, then you're not wrong. Many of the games have books and books to help the DM create the world and to be the arbiter in the event of disputes. The DM will have spent a lot of time making the adventure with all the characters ready. The players will either create a character or use one they've developed in previous games. Imaginary characters are also subject to the dice. Each character has a certain amount of strength and wisdom and intelligence, etc., all determined by the roll of the dice. We just can't say we're all going to be Superman. And as all characters survive, they can die in these games, so they can gain experience and items, treasure, to make them better equipped for the next adventure. These games are known for their long sessions. Time flies past as everyone is involved in this imaginary world, and they can be quite consuming. People will talk about how they've become tied to their character. After all, if you've given it imaginary life, and it is you or an aspect of you, and the killing of a character is never welcomed, firstly because it is a type of losing, but secondly because people become attached to their characters and may feel momentarily, or not, grief for their character who has died. These fantasy world gaming systems also give you an opportunity to select the morality. That's often called your alignment, and the religion of your character, especially if you're a cleric, say, though I suspect that there are a lot of agnostic clerics running around. Sometimes the alignment might be set or limited by the game's rules, but it is something the player chooses, and the DM is supposed to keep the players honest so that the characters do, by and large, follow their alignment. The alignment possibilities are good, neutral, and evil, matched with lawful, neutral, and chaotic. Now, I mention this because it is here that I think Christians need to be careful, and I'll return to this in a moment. What we have in fantasy role-playing games is drama, theatre. But instead of it being on stage or on the screen, it is largely in the mind and on bits of paper as players roll dice and look at maps, etc. I may be asked by a Christian, "Pastor, can I be an actor or actress?" And I would give the same answers I gave at the beginning. My short answer is, yes. My longer answer is, with care. The DM is the equivalent of the director and probably the producer of the drama or film, remembering that the film is being screened in your brain as you imagine what is happening and what is being said. Since the Christian church doesn't say that acting, and one's use of one's imagination is by its nature at all times breaking the first commandment, that is idolatry, so Christians can be free to be or not to be, sorry, couldn't help myself, an actor or actress, and similarly to play or not play fantasy role-playing games. But that doesn't mean I'm omitting my longer answer. I have also said with care. And that is because fantasy role-playing games can also, it seems to me, stop being a game for some people and become something more. Of course, it isn't the game's fault per se. We're dealing with people here. But where people become obsessed with the game, or find it hard to disengage from their character, or discover that the fantasy world is more real or comforting than the real world, or where people are truly upset and traumatised by the death of their character or something similar, that is when the game doesn't really go their way, or when the DM creates a world which repels us and wouldn't be tolerated in the real world, or when people find themselves thinking and even doing things away from the game in real life that was prompted by the game, especially negative things, then yes, caution is needed. And I repeat my longer answer, with care. There's good common sense in the phrase, in moderation. And that applies to fantasy role-playing games, in my opinion. They are powerful social interactions. They are often bonding. They are fun, adventurous fun, vicariously enjoying life, hopefully as hero, but as someone else for many hours. In a world that potentially is never-ending. An adventure might end, but there's always the next one. And this is really quite powerful and even intoxicating, and even maybe addictive for some. Hence my caution. Our imaginations are not off-limits to Jesus, nor would a Christian want them to be. They are wonderful gifts of God by which we can enjoy life, learn, prepare, and plan, and have fun. Nevertheless, they are always sinful. All of us is self-centered. We are by nature in rebellion to God and want to be our own God. And this can be best imagined in our imaginations. But our thoughts don't have to translate into actions. And so thinking or imagining something is different from doing it. We must maintain that distinction while we recognize the links between thought and deed. So Christians should be aware of how their imagination is working when they play fantasy role-playing games. I think it works in two ways. Either a person basically imagines themselves as the character. A bit like the comic character Iron Man, they are putting on a persona, but it's still basically them underneath, who is interacting with the players and the world in the game. Or a person regards their character much more as an actor playing a role, and so they are able to play characters quite different from themselves, maybe a different alignment. They are interacting as the character while still having an awareness that they are role-playing. They have not become the character. Hence, I would be concerned if a person regularly played, say, an evil character, because firstly, I can't see it being nearly as much fun, but secondly, because thoughts and deeds are linked, and I think it unhealthy to spend too much time in a world of thinking and doing evil, even in one's imagination. These games work best, by the way, I think, when people are basically the good guys out to right wrongs and have good triumph over evil. My biggest caution relates, however, to the DM, or games master, the person who creates the world, arbitrates disputes between characters, and in the imaginary world is godlike, because things are as he or she says they are. Where the world created by the DM allows evil to flourish, rewards wickedness and immorality and oppression, even glories in violence, then firstly, I think the world isn't a fun place and the game isn't fun. But secondly, this imaginary world doesn't reflect the truth of our world, that good triumphs over evil, that happy endings are the best endings, that struggle and sacrifice are noble endeavours, and the world, even an imagined fantasy one, is best when we help each other and serve each other. Where the DM's world is moral and basically, I would say, good, then I think characters can go and play in it. But where the world is not, then I'm far, far more hesitant. I played Macbeth in our high school production, and he does very bad things, but in the end, justice prevails. My caution about fantasy role-playing games is primarily that the fantasy must still have links with our world of some sort, primarily in good versus evil. And where evil and violence and our sinful self prevail in the role-playing world, then my suggestion is to go and find another world in which to play. Yes, I believe Christians can play fantasy role-playing games. If you do, I hope they're fun and you enjoy them. And I would also say, however, with care. Remember, they're not real. They're just a game. If you'd like some straight answers, send your awkward questions to me, George Samyets, at Lutheran Radio UK. That is at info@lutheranradio.co.uk. Goodbye.